This podcast is rated S for science and also for spoilers and swearing. There's going to be swearing.
Something is killing these people and sucking them dry.
Run! It's a stampede!
Okay, welcome everybody to episode one of Supplementals of Cinematic Animalia, a podcast where we look at a movie monster and try and figure out how it might work in real life by looking at their ecology and physiology. Today we're doing something a little different. This is the first of a bunch of mini episodes we'll pepper throughout the regular seasons. We're just doing this one to keep you guys tied over until we come back after the Easter break. Before we get to today's topic, my name is Sam Perrin. I'm a PhD student at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. I also run ecologyforthemasses.com along with Adam Kisacz, I believe it's Polish, who is absent today. He's off preparing for his PhD candidacy exam as he was last week. But with me today is co-host number two, Dave the Vet Duckington Jr.
Nice. Nice. Yep. Spot on.
I'll edit that out. Don't worry. Today, we are looking at the ecological ramifications of the snap from Infinity War.
Oh.
Yes. I hadn't told Dave about this. So I was going to leave it as a surprise.
Shit.
Yeah. We won't... Like I said, this is a mini episode. So we won't do any news or anything like that. We'll just get straight into it. If you don't know what the snap is at this point, Dave, do you want to take him through what?
So the snap is the concept of Thanos attempting to bring about equality in the universe, the sort of key theory behind the Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Obviously, very different from the comics, and we'll focus on the movie version. But Thanos is attempting to bring what he feels is an unequal universe into balance. And his original goal was to try and sort of decimate half of the population of each planet he visits using an army that it's never clear how he's paying for or taking care of or enticing them to join in his quest. But he somehow manages to get that rocking and rolling. And eventually at the climax, spoiler alert, of the Avengers Infinity War film, he is able to acquire a set of very powerful artifacts called the Infinity Stones, which he uses to bring about a destruction of 50% of all life in the universe in complete balance and harmony of removing 50% of every sort of species group, that kind of thing, across
as everything should be. Now, I think I need to correct you there because you said species group. I don't think that he's removing every species.
Because, no, I mean 50% of the species.
No, but I see, this is the thing. This is one of the big contentions that we'll have to get into today. If he's removing 50% of every species, then he's taking away a lot of resources. My thinking is that he was using the Mind Stone to detect a certain level of sentience above which a species qualifies for destruction.
So you think he's only going after sentient beings?
Yes, because, I mean, there's a lot of fucking trees and grass in all of those scenes, and
right,
none of
which
them
is
going to
be the
out.
Next part.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think once you've reached a level of sentience, because, I mean, otherwise, in a lot of cases, species make up resources, and it would make no sense to, you know, remove all the levels, species that are a certain level of sentience, if you're also going to take away those resources. You're not really balancing anything out. However, I would like to, you know, posit that that's not, in fact, what happened, and that he was removing 50% of all species. What the fuck would happen? Like,
bad.
Yes, for starters. Like, what's he taking as his baseline? Is he just like assuming that any species, just 50%? And what sort of distribution have you got? Like, is it exactly 50%? Because, I mean, look at the group of the Avengers, right? Roughly 50% of them are wiped out. But some people get it worse. Like, if the upcoming trailers, spoiler alert or anything to go by, Hawkeye's entire family gets killed.
Right.
I've just run some random simulations on my computer just now, basically saying, okay, the standard is 50%, but let's see, you know, how many things get wiped out from these various populations of 1,000. In some extreme cases, because your average is 50%, but it doesn't necessarily have to stick to that, up to 70% get wiped out.
Yeah, and it doesn't... You can't, as well, with endangered or low-level species, if there's, like, two left and you wipe out 50% and you're like, yeah. It's balanced. It's not
No, it's not
ideal.
Balanced at all, yeah.
And also, some species depend on having... Because then we're talking about, like, comparable numbers when you're talking about wipe out of 50%, right? Where, you know, there are obviously a greater number of prey species that exist with predators.
Yeah.
But if we wipe out a big group of the predators or the prey, we can very quickly create imbalances associated with either, you know, prey overgrowth, like the situation that we have in Canada and other areas associated with our deer population, because we just decimated wolves.
Yeah.
Or you run into the opposite effect where you end up decimating too much of your prey species and your carnivores override. And it also very much depends on season, because populations vary greatly by, like, what time of year does that snap happen in terms of what area of the breeding cycle or the reproduction cycle are the species in. Their numbers could be quite low at the time of the snap, but they could be just about to enter into, like, you know, the salmon producing large numbers. Or if you wipe out half of the sea turtle babies that are attempting to get off the beaches, that's going to seriously fuck up your sea turtle population down the road. It's not going to be a nice balance.
Like, maybe if slightly less predators got wiped out, but a lot more prey came in, you would have real weird imbalances that would take ages to correct. I mean, I think herbivore populations would do really well here.
Yeah.
Because you'd have a lot of colonizer species that would come back quite quickly, and the herbivores would just expand for a while.
And that's the other problem of gestation cycles differ.
Yeah.
So, like, the bunnies are not going to have any problems recovering from the snap.
Yeah.
Like, their numbers will come back really, really damn quick. But many of, like, the species that prey on them that have much longer gestation periods are not going to be able to recover as
or
quickly.
Or even that compete with them.
Yeah.
Like, this is one thing that happens. Like, if you have a species with a very short life cycle that on the regular basis competes with a species with a much longer life cycle, you knock out one species, right? They're not going to come back to equilibrium. Because one species is just going to have all this new territory that they can move into. And the other species, they just can't reproduce in time to take advantage of that. So they potentially get wiped out.
Right. And then it becomes down to the cellular level as well. So I have a cold.
Mm.
Does 50% of my virus get wiped out? Or do some humans just get to be completely virus-free and other ones get completely screwed over?
What,
like,
about your gut bacteria? Like, if he's wiping out
50%
of every human's gut bacteria, he's not wiping out 50% of all humans. Every fucking human's going to die on the face of the planet.
Right. So,
man, you can't live without that shit in there.
So that's exactly it. The concept of the snap originally, because I don't remember him saying that he's focusing on sentience.
It obviously has to be, though. I mean, he was doing it for the sake of balancing resources.
Yeah. Right. And it makes way more sense for anybody that's out there, and I'm sure there are people watching this being like, yeah, that's why he needed the Mind Stone. We're sure that's why he needed the Mind Stone.
Yes, exactly. But
when
it's just more fun to think of it this way.
Right. But even if he was just wiping out 50% of the sentient population... there are also huge disturbances that would be brought on by that. So if you wiped out 50% of humanity, but you left the plant and animal species still intact, you are going to have really interesting overgrowth patterns. Like, the raccoons are going to fucking have a field day. All right? Like, garbage consumption, like the species that exist within urban centers are going to experience really cool, interesting, terrifying changes that are going to take place really, really rapidly.
Crows, man, raccoons, rats, ants.
Yeah, population overgrowth in those areas is going to become huge, and we don't know what the ramifications later down the line are.
You're just going to have bears, like, rummaging through cities for rubbish because, I mean, they've got no humans scaring them off anymore.
Good time to be a bear, though.
Yeah, good time to be a bear. This sort of thing fascinates me though. Like, we didn't talk about this last week on the movie scientist thing, but there's a Stephen King book called The Stand, right, where a virus comes through and wipes out. I think it's a mutation of the common cold. Wipes out like 99.99% of humanity, and it does the same thing but to specific animal groups. So it kills all the dogs, kills all the horses and the cows as well. But there's other species that are left alone. And this sort of thing is like a fascinating concept of how does that rewilding then go? Like, who moves into where? One thing that would happen that would be really cool, I think, is a lot of large carnivores would come back into areas. Not only because the humans would keep them out, but just because, you know, they'd have all this new territory they could expand into.
And they'd have new growth associated with the species that they're preying on as well.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Now, as a side note we're focusing on if just the sentient species got wiped out, the other question is, do species or groups that Thanos already decimated, do their numbers get reduced by half again? Because, like, for example, the poor Asgardians that already had their population massively reduced, and then we know Thanos crashes into their ship and then he kills off another 50% of them, and then the question is, when the snap happens, does an even further 50% of them disappear? Because at that point, you feel like the Asgardians are just turning around and they're like, fuck all of this noise.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Because we know that Thanos has been through a big chunk of the universe as well, that he's already been like, oh, you know, like, I've already done my equivalent of, you know, calling 50% of the population. But it's not going to be as precise as the snap.
Yeah. I really want to know, like, the levels of precision. Like, is he taking... how many controlling factors is he using? Is he using gender as a control? Because, I mean, if we assume in this universe, which have two genders on every planet, or two biological sexes, I should say, if we just have two biological sexes on every planet, then, like... in some species, if you're controlling for gender, you could wipe out, like, way less than half of the colony. For instance, ants, right? You wipe out exactly. ant colony and you don't control for gender, you are potentially just killing the queen.
In every single ant colony everywhere on the planet, if you're like, oh, I'm just going to wipe out. Yeah, exactly. You're just going to decimate colonies left and right.
Yeah. So maybe ants won't do so well, contrary to what I said before. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is there anything else? But you'd also have to touch on, like, spatial dynamics. You would have to control for spatial dynamics. If you wipe out, say, a global population like blue whales, right? If you wipe out, like, the entire southern population, your ecology in the southern half of the hemisphere is going to be real thrown off for a long time. Like, trophic cascades are going to open up. Oh, I think just... Whew.
Yeah, really hardcore decimation. And I think you also bring up the gender dynamic, because we do posit and discuss that just because there are only two genders on Earth does not mean that there are going to be two genders everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that Star Trek does a pretty good job of exploring this. They run into a number of three-gendered species, where a third gender is necessary for sort of completing the cycle and bringing about everything. However, in many of the cases that they run into, and it makes sense, the third gendered group exists as a much smaller segment of the population, because it's really only needed for, you know, purposes associated with production of children. Yeah. If you're just wiping out 50% of the population left and right, and you wipe out a lot of this third gender or fourth gender or whatever other group it is that you need or require, you're going to get screwed pretty quickly. Groot gets wiped out in the snap, right?
Yeah.
But we know that Groot is supposed to be, like, one of the last of his species in the movies. They keep saying, like, he's fairly rare. So, I mean, I guess the only, like, positive part of Groot getting wiped out is we're like, hey, there's other Groots out there.
Yeah. Also, what does he do with, like, hybrid species and subspecies?
Yeah, like, that's a really good question as well.
I know he's probably using the Mind Stone to calculate all this, but I want to know what sort of, like, factors he's taking into account. There'd be so many variables. If you wanted to do this properly, you'd really have to... Fuck.
Sit down, think of... Because breeds a dog would be a perfect example.
Yeah.
If you just wiped out, like, 50%, you could end up with, like... Well, your labs would take over. because statistically speaking, they're kind of everywhere.
Your wolves are probably fucked because wolves make up a hell of a lot. Like, the wolf numbers, I mean, wolf and dogs are the same species, as we said before, right? If you're wiping out 50% of Canis lupus, then you're probably going to knock out most of your wolves.
Yeah. Parrots are going to be in a lot of trouble for all the different, like, domesticated and varieties.
Yeah. All right, I think we should leave it at that for now.
Yep.
But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this episode of Supplementals. We'll have a few more of these, like I said, peppered in through throughout the rest of the series. We'll be back next week with a proper episode. We'll be getting back into more movie scientists, hopefully. And then coming up towards the end of the season, we've got three kind of more traditional monsters slash movie animals coming up for you. Starting with the Game of Thrones dragons in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Make sure you're on board for them. But yeah, in the meantime, if you want to get in touch, we're available at Twitter. I'm at Sam Perrin, NTNU. Adam is at Harsic Adam. We've also got a Twitter account, which we're using a bit more regularly for the podcast now, C_Animalia. You can visit our website at cinematica.animalia.com. Sorry, all one word, cinematicaanimalia.com. You can contact us at cinematica.animalia@gmail.com. And you can find some of the more sciencey stuff that Adam and I do at ecologyforthemasses.com. And as Adam always says at the end of every episode, the monsters may not be real, but the science is.
Science is.
Yeah,
that's right. A great line.
See you guys.
See ya.